Hello and welcome to the Homegrown Food Summit. My name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is the premier community of people who are growing our own food and stopping the destruction of the earth. And we take that very seriously. So glad that you're here with us. You know, a very important part of growing your own food is going to be, you know, fertilizers, it's going to be compost, it's going to be mulches. And it has astonished me over the years to find out just how toxic or dangerous those materials can be, especially when you buy them in the commercial systems. And our next presentation is going to be talking about just exactly that. It's astonishing to me that there's these 50-pound bags of this stuff that looks like an awesome organic fertilizer, and it turns out to be highly, highly toxic. This is something that's sold commonly in all the big box stores. Our presenter is Mike Adams, who is the founder of The Natural News, which is a science-based natural health advocacy organization. Mike Adams, often known as the Health Ranger, he's kind of funny. The key mission of The Natural News is to empower consumers with factual information about the synthetic chemicals, heavy metals, hormone disruptors, and other chemicals found in foods, medicines, personal care products, children's toys, and other items. So what Mike has done is gotten a group of scientists together, and they bought the equipment and have a lab, and they actually test all sorts of food products and, as you'll learn in this one, fertilizer and compost products for all these contaminants. And it has been shocking, the things that they're finding in foods, and as you'll see in this one, in common fertilizers. By the way, The Natural News covers holistic health, nutritional therapies, consciousness and spirituality, permaculture, organics, animal rights, environmental health, food and superfoods, and performance nutrition. Really quite a fascinating organization, and Mike is doing some amazing work. And so let's watch this presentation together with an expose on compost that's coming out of almost every major city, biosludge. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft with the Grow Network, and today I'm absolutely thrilled to be in the studio with Mike Adams. You might know him as the Health Ranger. He's the founder of The Natural News, as well as a bunch of other highly informative websites. He's also the founder of CWC Labs, that does a lot of testing, heavy metals, glyphosate, and other things that you really don't want to have in your food supply. And today we're going to be talking about a subject that is vitally important. And I'm going to get started here with Mike. Mike, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the Grow Network community.
Well, thank you, Marjorie. It's always good to join you for a chat.
Yep. So, Mike, you know, we're in Central Texas, and Central Texas has this mascot of the armadillo, which is kind of this funny little animal. And I was over at a big box store, Home Depot, and in the gardening section, of course. And there's these bags of fertilizer that has this cute little emblem of a little armadillo with a little wheelbarrow. It looks so wholesome. And they're selling what they call dillo dirt. And actually, it turns out, and it looks so wholesome, and it turns out actually what dillo dirt is the EPA calls it biosolids, but another more probably accurate term is biosludge.
Or I just call it toxic sewage sludge.
Toxic sewage sludge, that's the other name for it.
That's what it is.
You know, yeah.
So yeah, what Austin does, and every city in America does this, and different cities have different deceptive names for this product. Milwaukee, for example, calls it Milorganite. Mm. Sounds like an organic fertilizer, but it's actually toxic sewage sludge. So in Austin or Milwaukee, you take all the raw sewage of everything that's flushed down every toilet across the city, including light industrial waste, medical waste that's flushed down, you know, garbage disposals, human feces, and everything, all the contaminants that go with that, the hormone replacement therapy drugs, the recreational drugs, you know, the psychiatric drugs, everything, the chemotherapy drugs. And that goes into this waste, including all the bacteria and viruses, all the diseases and sicknesses that people have, the E. coli, 100 different strains. And then the city takes that and they dry it, and then they relabel it fertilizer. and people buy this product. And whatever people don't buy, the cities will go to farms around the city and they'll tell farmers, hey, would you like some free fertilizer? And when the farmers say yes, the city runs truckloads of toxic sewage sludge and they dump it on the farms. And this is happening all across America. The farms that grow your corn, the farms that grow your almonds, the farms that grow your apples and pears in the Pacific Northwest, they're all being treated, so to speak, with toxic sewage sludge.
Now, I get kind of the concept of it. Kind of sounds like it's a good idea. I mean, we've got this huge waste stream from big cities, and we do need to do something about that. And the idea of composting it or processing it in some way and then reusing it is sort of like the nutrient cycle. But you've actually done the testing on this. And this biosludge, apparently it's not composted out. And so you've tested heavy metals, all the things you're talking about, the radioactive materials from chemotherapy, and it doesn't go out in the process.
No, we have an accredited analytical laboratory running multiple mass spec instruments. Mm-hmm. We do science every day. We test for heavy metals. We test for organic molecules such as pesticides, herbicides, chemical contaminants, recreational drugs, and so on. What the cities are doing in America does not destroy organic molecules, does not destroy heavy metals, and it does not destroy most of the strains of bacteria and viruses that exist in this biosludge, toxic sewage sludge product. Because they're concentrating all of this, they're concentrating the toxins, and it becomes almost a biological weapon delivery system to dump this on forests and farms and children's playgrounds. Everywhere you dump this stuff, it kills the life all around it. Forests are being devastated by this. The soil microbiology on farms is being devastated. Now, even though this material has nitrogen in it, mm-hmm. and it is, quote, organic from a chemistry point of view. Organic chemistry just means any molecule with carbon in it. Mm-hmm. So that's how they're misleading the public and saying this is organic. Doesn't mean it's USDA certified organic.
Organic, yeah.
It's full of pesticides. It's full of herbicides. It's full of recreational drugs. It's full of pharmaceuticals and heavy metals. Think about what people flush down the drain. You know, from motor oil and all the prescription drugs they're trying to, what do? They flush them down the toilet, right?
Or the antibiotics that you took and that didn't get processed and that's going out, as well as all the other drugs that people take.
Right.
And then not to, even if the individuals, we're talking about hospitals that, good grief, whatever's going down the drain in that's pretty nasty.
It's horrific. And let me share with you a little experiment we ran. We put some of this in a trash can, a big barrel, just outside of our lab facility, just to see what would happen. We just dumped some dry stuff in there and did nothing to it. It rained. Mm-hmm. The material got wet. And within a few days, it was infested with maggots. Maggots were crawling all through this, and the entire top layer of this became just maggoted because it's feces. I mean, flies are attracted to feces.
Feces, yeah.
So then from the maggots, of course, the flies come out. So the flies, and this happens all across America, the flies then are taking all of the toxic viruses, the superbug viruses, and then flying out and spreading it to their local communities.
Yeah. So this actually could be a whole vector for bioterrorism.
It is a vector for massive biological weaponization of America. And birds sometimes will check out something. They might come in, they might scratch the soil, before it gets infested with maggots, and then they get viruses on them, and birds carry it.
They spread it all over.
Very far.
Now, right. Are they taking this biosludge? And I was actually quite horrified to read, so many EPA documents that said, oh no, there's decades of research that show this is safe, and they're actually applying this to food crops.
Yes, to food crops
that humans eat.
Right. And my film, Biosludged, which it's released for free, you can see it at biosludged.com, featured a former EPA whistleblower, Dr. David Lewis. Now, Dr. David Lewis was an EPA scientist, and he tried to blow the whistle on this and say, no, this is not safe, this is extremely dangerous. The EPA destroyed his career, destroyed his life.
Mm. Yeah.
The EPA he talks about this in his book. The EPA sent armed government agents to the homes of other scientists in the middle of the night to knock on their doors, wake them up, and threaten them that if they went public with what they knew, that something bad would happen to them. I'm talking about the EPA uses government thugs to threaten scientists to cover up the truth about biosludge.
Wow, it's that big of a, you know. What is the solution? I mean, you know, we're here in Austin. I'm at an Airbnb in South Congress, and, you know, I flush the toilet, and I'm like, that's gone. And, you know, I'm thinking, it's an MSA of a million, and you're saying this is, and this is going on in every major city in the U.S., and there's huge amounts of material. What do we do? I mean, obviously they're bagging some up and selling it as fertilizers to small people, and then they're using it to grow crops. Obviously does have some nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in addition to everything else they're not talking about. But is there a way to process this?
Yes.
Is it just money or what?
Yeah, it's a money issue. There's a simple way to process it. You just use heat. So you can incinerate the toxic sewage sludge, and it makes it almost entirely non-toxic. It turns it into an ash. Now, incineration doesn't eliminate the heavy metals, but it eliminates all the organic molecules, the prescription drugs, it kills the bacteria, it denatures the proteins of viruses and so on. Heat is the solution. So you just incinerate, and they're doing this in many European countries, by the way. So Europe is way ahead of us on this. They don't dump toxic sludge all over their farmlands. That's insane. That's only something, you know, you in America and third world countries, you do that. But if you build incineration plants, you end up with an ash that is a tiny fraction of the original mass, because a lot of it's water and a lot of it's carbon. You know, a lot of it goes away when you incinerate it. You can actually, in some ways, depending on what you want to do with it, you could produce fuel from it, methane, gas, and so on. You could run gas plants off of it. But if you just incinerate it, you end up with this tiny ash, and this ash can be mixed in with concrete to build city bridges and roads and sidewalks, to lock it up for thousands of years in concrete.
I guess that would be a safer way to deal with heavy metals. Would there be any problems with incinerating it? Then would you be releasing, you know, in the incineration process, gases that would be harmful? Or
It takes energy to incinerate.
Yeah.
Right? So you're probably using fossil fuels for energy. But, you know, the good news about that is, what people don't know is, when you're releasing carbon dioxide into the air, you know, carbon dioxide is the most important molecules for plants to grow. CO2 is the regreening molecule for Earth. And people have been taught the opposite, that it's a bad thing. Well, every rainforest, every plant, every food crop needs CO2. It's part of photosynthesis. Without CO2, you don't grow food at all. So even if you release CO2 into the atmosphere, it just helps plants grow faster. It regreens the earth. So in my view, releasing CO2 to eliminate these deadly toxins is not a bad deal. It actually helps the plants, but it costs money. And the cities don't want to spend the money when they can dump this for free by telling farmers a big lie, saying this is fertilizer and implying that it's safe. The EPA, it's a massive cover-up. The EPA is poisoning the soils of America, and they're getting away with it because they've intimidated the scientists into silence.
Now, I did see that, and I was astonished that pretty much everywhere, you know, Boise, Idaho, Los Angeles, New York, Austin, everywhere, they were saying, look, this stuff is safe. You know, apply it to your plot. How long, if we dump this on our soil and we go ahead and till it in, how long is that soil going to be? I mean, is this something that nature would take care of in a couple of years and kind of clean it up eventually anyway? Or,
well, I asked Dr. David Lewis that exact question, and he said this will be there for centuries, that future scientists will be digging into the soils of our modern day and saying, look how toxic this society was. The heavy metals don't go away. So what you're doing is permanently contaminating America's farmlands forever.
Wow. And that's being done on farmlands all across, because they ship it out everywhere.
It's on a massive scale.
Right.
It's nationwide. There is no city in America that incinerates the sewage sludge.
So the plants themselves, there's a, you know, a plant membrane. Now I do know some plants actually are accumulators. So there are some plants, I think alfalfa, for example, is pretty well known to take up heavy metal. So I guess you aren't even protected by, like, you know, if you're growing corn on this contaminated soil, that corn is not going to be good. Right? There's no internal plant biology that would protect you from this either.
No, yeah. And in fact, the plants act as bioaccumulators of this. And since the plants are then eaten by humans, mm-hmm. whose waste is, quote, recycled back into the system, mm-hmm. you have almost a closed loop. So you're bioaccumulating now with every crop season, the heavy metals content and the toxic content of the soils keeps going higher and higher and higher. And remember, people who live near these sites are coming down with mysterious illnesses. They're getting sick. They're having respiratory problems. And doctors are diagnosing these people with all sorts of diseases and negative conditions. This is toxic stuff. If you smelled it, you would immediately go, whoa, we don't want to be anywhere near that. It's extremely toxic. It's toxic to life. And the way the EPA gets away with this is they say, well, it has nitrogen in it. Okay, sure it has nitrogen in it. What about all the other things in it? They don't even test. But for, I think, they test four viral strains out of the thousands that are in it. They just test four. And they only test, I don't know, maybe three or four heavy metals, and they allow huge levels of heavy metals that are incredibly toxic to the environment.
So the USDA organic standards, does that allow biosludge?
No.
So there's one way that you can ensure at some degree of safety is if you're buying USDA certified organic foods, then at least you're assured it wasn't grown in biosludge.
That's true, right. So the organic industry, mm-hmm. or I should say certain players in the organic industry, tried to get biosludge to be allowed under organic standards.
Gosh, yeah.
That was rejected, mm-hmm. thankfully.
Thankfully.
So your organic food is not grown in human sewage,
yeah. Wow.
Which is a relief.
Are there any other ways that we can, other than growing our own food, which I'm a big proponent of, that's kind of my thing, but is there any way that you can test? Like, let's say I move into a lawn or new piece of soil, a new house, and I don't know what those previous owners did. Is there any way that I can test to find out, like, hey, they dumped biosludge and I didn't know about it?
Yes, you can, because heavy metals persist in the soils essentially forever, you can test soils for heavy metals and see if there's a heightened concentration of metals. But to test for recent applications, there is one chemical that Dr. Lewis told me about this. It's an indicator chemical that always indicates biosludge.
Okay.
It's the over-the-counter drug Benadryl.
Oh, really?
Yes. Benadryl is such a common thing that people buy and take, and it gets flushed down the toilet, obviously. Comes out of people's bodies, but Benadryl is present in every biosludge sample. So if you use a mass spec lab like we do, capable of organic chemistry, you can simply take a sample, test for Benadryl, and then you know it's been biosludged.
Wow. So, and this really is a concern, because not only are we talking about they're taking this biosludge and dumping it onto big farms, but people can buy it at the local big box store and put it in their yard.
Yeah. So, and the packaging is very misleading. It says this is safe to use on your home vegetable crops, by the way. The Mill Organite product says you can use it on your strawberry gardens and safe to use around children and pets. It's unreal.
So really, this stuff really could be anywhere. And so before you buy a new property, this would be probably something you do as a part of your property purchase checklist.
Absolutely. I think biosludge application is going to affect the rural real estate market for centuries to come. And imagine if you're selling a farm and you could say, this farm has been tested and no biosludge was ever applied to this farm. Now it has more value.
Yeah. What about some of the wider ecological damage to this? So, if we put that biosludge there, other than the crops that go off that people eat, or possibly birds that come pick it up and eat it, or different insects or other creatures, are there any other, usually complex systems have a lot of other ramifications? What other ramifications are likely because of this?
Well, that's a great question, and the implications are huge. A lot of this biosludge is applied in areas that are near rivers and streams. Mm. So when there's rain, it just washes right into the rivers. And of course, the rivers of America are the water supply for municipal water. Your tap water, in most cases, comes out of a river. Now, you think, well, is your tap water clean? Does your tap water, do they clean out all the chemicals in the water treatment facility? No, they don't. They add chlorine to the water to kill the bacteria so that the water doesn't kill you today. But tap water in America contains traces of thousands of chemicals. And the number keeps going up because of this biosludge and other, you know, ecologically damaging practices. Even well water, we've tested well water and we see a lot of chemicals in well water because it eventually leaches down, you know, through the rock and so on, gets into the aquifers. We tested a sample. We had hundreds of people from all across America send us water samples, by the way, for testing in our lab. So we tested one sample from a VA hospital. And VA hospital water, we found, I think it was over 400 toxic chemicals.
Yeah. I've noticed that a lot of these water treatment, sewer treatment plants also happen to be birding sites.
Yes.
That they have these big ponds and pools, and it attracts waterfowl. And you just got to wonder, you know, because they're eating the insect life.
Right.
And the fish.
Well, you look at... We have this rise of mysterious diseases all across America today. The CDC doesn't know what causes them. The doctors don't know what causes them. Sometimes the media reports on them, but not often. Children are being paralyzed. People are dying. People are having seizures for no apparent reason. They can't nail down why. I have no doubt that chemical exposure is a key component of this. And if you look at biosludge, combined with the practices of pesticide and herbicide treatment of crops, you know, through conventional farming, you know, these pesticides and herbicides are well known to promote dementia, reduced cognitive function, you know, retarded IQs, for example. It's a well-known side effect of exposure to these chemicals. Some of them are acetylcholinesterase inhibitors, so they inhibit the basic neurology of brain function. We are being mass poisoned, but we're poisoning ourselves. Mm-hmm. As I've said before, humanity is a suicide cult.
That's a pretty accurate statement, you know, that's with the way we do things. It's pretty crazy.
Well, it is. I mean, why would you mass poison the entire food supply? Well, except for the more organic, you know, homegrown foods. But the entire conventional food supply is filled with poison. I see it every day in the lab. I could take a food sample off the shelf, even from Whole Foods, and test it. We actually, the other day, we went to the Whole Foods buffet to gather samples and ran glyphosate testing on them. And sure enough, there's trace glyphosate in the beans and the breads from the Whole Foods buffet. It's not a huge level, but it's in there, you see. I see it every day in the lab. The food's toxic.
Are there any consequences to some of our pollinators, like the colony collapse with bees? Do you think that there's any correlation or connection with that?
Well, absolutely. The research on colony collapse disorder has so far focused on the neonicotinoids, mm-hmm. which is a class of pesticides that interfere with neurology of insects. Think about how most insecticides work. They attack the nervous systems of the insects. And by the way, they also attack nervous systems of you. You know, you just have more tolerance because you're a larger organism. But over time, they will kill you just like they kill the insects. We are looking at a global collapse of food production, okay? This is really the message that I want to share with you and your watchers. The global food supply will collapse for numerous reasons, one of which is the collapse of pollinators. Without pollinators, I mean, you know how many crops are pollinated.
Yeah.
Many vegetables, many fruit trees, almonds, so many crops. Maybe a third of the food that you eat is pollinated by insect pollinators. They're collapsing.
They are. There's been recent studies talking about that it's actually happening at a more accelerated rate than they had originally predicted. And that, you know, without, and not just pollinators, but insects in general.
Yes.
Worldwide.
The biomass of insects mm-hmm. is collapsing. The last study I read showed a 2.5% decrease per year. Now, it doesn't take too many years before your entire global ecosystem collapses.
Yeah.
And this is why I say, you know, a lot of people, this is interesting, people warn us about, you know, climate change in 100 years. I chuckle because humanity won't even be here
in 100 years.
Humanity will not survive the next 50 years if we don't change. There's going to be a global food collapse, which will result in, of course, outbreaks of not just starvation and famine, but all the infectious disease that will come from that. And with all of the antibiotics that are in the food and in the sewage and on the soils, you're going to have antibiotic-resistant superbugs just decimating humankind. In a sense, in a bigger sense, you could say, well, guess what? Nature balances the system. Nature is going to wipe out much of humanity and bring humanity back down to a scale where the world can actually heal itself. But humanity is taking part in this. Humanity is killing itself. Nature is just responding to humanity's suicidal tendencies.
Well, we sure are doing some absolutely stupid things on a gross scale. And, you know, I just didn't want to think about biosludge. That's one of the, you know, like, it's like, okay, I just went to the bathroom, you know, and, but it's a huge problem. And it's one piece that I don't think a lot of people are aware of. And so I really appreciate you spending time today and talking to all of us. And,
sure. What, did I freak you out too much with that last section?
Yes, you're like, oh my God. You know, but even the CDC has got their, and the World Health Organization is a long way overdue for a pandemic, just based on the historical cycles. They know when these things are due, and we're way past, and we are doing so many insane things.
This is the big picture, and you know this as much as anyone. So many of the practices involving food and health and medicine today are entirely unsustainable. Mm-hmm. Humanity is on a non-sustainable track. And anything by definition that's non-sustainable must come to an end. All of human civilization won't be totally wiped out. There will be survivors, there will be a remnant, there'll be a rebirth of humanity after all this. But they will be born into a world that is polluted and contaminated for centuries, maybe millennia to come. So I want you to think about, you know, what it would be like to be a human born in the year 2075, where the population is 1/20 of the current population. The soils are dead, decimated. The pollution is still rampant everywhere because of what the previous humans did. But you've got concrete bridges still there, but no cars driving on them. Mm. You know, human civilization has essentially collapsed. There won't be anything that you recognize today. There won't be an internet, you know. But there will be a back to basics movement because that's how they'll survive.
Well, I do have a lot of faith in humanity surviving. We are an incredibly adaptable species, but
yes.
We definitely are on a collision course for something.
Really. Humanity isn't doomed, but the current path is doomed. Yeah, but humanity will change. I agree. There's a bright side at the end of all this.
Gosh. Well, on that light, no.
I told you this would be a positive interview.
Right. Well, your film Biosludged is really, really informative, and you also have tons of interviews with experts that talk about this, and it really is shocking to see the EPA cover up, and it's absolutely apparent. I mean, even people who are like, oh, conspiracy, this really, it's just blatantly obvious that they're covering this up. And
yes.
I mean, I don't even need a lab to know that what's being flushed down the toilet is going to be toxic stuff, and that to see it in a bag for sale at a big box store as a fertilizer, you cannot, there's no amount, I don't need the EPA, and I don't, you know, just seeing that's a physical, simple thing that anybody can see and realize that there's something really, really wrong with this.
Yeah, so it's I call it the greatest environmental crime that you've never heard about.
There you go. Yeah. Where can people go to get to see the video on all about biosludge?
It's on the website, biosludged.com, mm-hmm. and there you can actually download the full film. Mm-hmm. You can burn it to DVDs if you want, and you can hand it out to friends if you want, or you can just watch it on your computer. You've got the files. We give it out for free.
I highly recommend it. I've seen it, and it really is astonishing to see the testimony of the experts in there, and to realize this is this is going on, and it's the, if you didn't need one more thing.
and no one in the mainstream media is reporting on this.
Right.
It's a cover-up beyond just the EPA and the regulators. It's a cover-up of media. It's a cover-up of the science community. The environmentalists aren't talking about this, right?
Yeah.
It's a cover-up at every level of society, and yet everybody can, you can go to any city in America, and they are delivering truckloads of this toxic sewage sludge to farms. It's happening everywhere across America. You can see it right where you live.
Well, if there was any more reasons to grow your own food, this is yet another one to tick off the box and do that. And really, collectively, I think it will be the small pockets of people that have these basic skills and that have worked to maintain their health that will be the crusaders that make it through this tremendous transition that we're headed for.
And if I could add, protect your soil. Soil is the key to human sustainability. Mm-hmm. And all the microbes in the soil, the biodynamic activities inside the soil that are destroyed by toxins and pesticides and herbicides, it's the soil that is your sustainable food in the future. Because, you know, seeds and crops come and go year after year. The soil is what gives you that long-term value to produce food forever. So protect your soil and you protect humanity.
Well, you have to be careful what you buy, don't you? Isn't that incredible? You know, Mike Adams really has some amazing stuff going on at his site, thenaturalnews.com. And as I said, he's doing some really amazing work. I frequently, if we have a question about something, we'll get it tested and send it over to his labs. Especially for heavy metals and other things when we're wanting to test the purity. If you want to learn how to make your own compost, I highly recommend you click that button to the right, and that will take you over to the Grow Network's Honors Lab. And in the Honors Lab, we have certifications and courses that will teach you everything from the soil of how to make compost and grow your own soil, to how to grow your own healthy vegetables, to keep chickens, to goats, to sheep, to growing in greenhouses, to making your own medicine, to using your own medicine, to growing your own medicine. Pretty much all the skills that you're going to need to have a high degree of self-reliance for yourself and your family. And we make it very, very reasonably priced. We're really a mission-based organization. And really, the purpose of the Grow Network is to stop the destruction of the earth via homegrown food. So if you click on that button to the right, that will get you into the Honors Lab. Check it out and get some skills on making your own compost. As you can see, it's a pretty dangerous world out there. And of course, the button down below that, you can own this presentation and support the work of the Grow Network by picking up the whole summit package. This is Marjorie Wildcraft. Catch me and you. Let's get together and learn some more on another presentation with the Homegrown Food Summit.